Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we were there last week on Easter. What an amazing day. We're still waiting for all the information to come back, but we're thinking close to 15 people received Jesus, which is exciting. Say amen to that. Yeah. And there's a lot of ministry took place, a lot of opportunity, and we're still following up on that. It's just Easter was just a unique time. But we were on the chapter 3, and I was reviewing just some of the things we talked about and directions that we went. And I felt some clear direction from God in where to go over the next couple of weeks. And you might recall that in the message, if you can get the next slide here, we had some lists here. And you might recall we talked about putting off and putting on. Now, you may or may not realize that there are actually three lists here contained within this passage. And the first list has to do with the issue of sexuality. The second list has to do with what I would call heart or relationship issues. And then the third list is like how to live life and what does it mean to live life as a believer. And as I looked at this, I thought, okay, I don't want to go by this too quickly. And so I said, Lord, I mean, should I go back over it? Kind of a question, right? And God said, didn't say anything. It was obvious that I needed to do this. Sometimes God's silence is direction. Can you say amen to that? And so I went ahead and realized that, okay, this makes sense. So we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks each of these areas because they speak about something that I believe is very important. And when you think about this, there's a danger of misinterpretation. When you look at a list like this, one of the dangers is that you see this as a list of do's and don'ts. I mean, for some of us, there are a few of us in this place who love lists, right? Everyone laughing loves lists, okay. So, or some of you just smiling, it's like, give me a list. How often will I talk to someone and we're having some interaction and they'll finally say the words, you know, Pastor, I don't need this conversation. Just give me a list of what to do. You know, just give that to me and we're good to go kind of a thing. And I understand that. And I've even had people, you know, share concerns that it seems like our walk with God, our Christianity is just a bunch of lists of what we're supposed to do or not do. I want to correct that perception because this is a list of things you're supposed to do and not do, obviously. But the point of the list is for relationship development. The point of the list is so that we can have a healthy relationship, first of all, with Jesus, and then second of all, with one another. And so what we're given here is a list of things that were of issue at the time that this was written to the Colossae church that clearly I believe, that I think you'll see as we go through this, is an issue in the church today. And so I've titled this message, Redeeming Our Sexuality. Because I believe if there ever was a time when I look at, can you go back please? When I look at this list, I can see sexual morality, lust, moral impurity, evil desire, and greed. Let's just hold this here, Teresa. So this is something, now I want you to listen to, I don't have this on a slide, but if you will open up again to Colossians chapter 3, I want to review the first couple of verses with you to set the stage of where we're going to go. Because in verse 2, if you look there, again, I don't have a slide, so you turn your devices on or open your Bibles. It says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So there's some instruction there. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Kind of reflects back to our series message, our theme, that they may know Christ. And it tells us that when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Now, you go back and you look at that and you realize there's some very important things that are being said that are setting the stage for us. Think about the things of heaven. God's word is saying, let's get our focus on the right things. Because there's a lot of distractions around us, isn't there? There's a lot of competition for your thoughts, for your emotions, for your time, for your energy, for your finances. Lots of competition, lots of distraction. And the word of God is saying to those believers at this time, I believe to us as well, that, okay, let's refocus not on earthly things, but on heaven. In other words, the word of God, God's values, God's standards, God's directions. It says, because listen, you died to this life, to all the past things, remember, we put off, and now we're putting on. We're a life that is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. This thought occurred to me as we're going through this. What an amazing evangelistic tool this could be. When you think about if we live this life, which we'll talk about, can you imagine the power of living this way to the world around us? That when people come into our midst, they see kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. People are chosen, a holy love, who are at peace, who share peace, who have thankfulness. Can you imagine what it'd be like to come into that kind of environment? I've had people say to me, I had someone just the other day say to me, who hasn't been in church for a long time, and was, you know, kind of sharing the experience of walking into this community. You know, I know you realize that if you're new, this can be a scary place. You are scary people. And so someone coming from the outside in kind of is like, what do I do? How do I act? Who do I talk to? I mean, usually you can see new people because they sit on the edges or in the far right-hand, left-hand corners, right? Because it's safer there. And then the real anointing's right here, though, right? You guys have the best. He just gave me a look like, oh, God. But there's something about, just kind of what happens when you first come in. So I said, well, tell me about it. And he said, you know, it was absolutely amazing. He said, it's been such a long time that I've walked into a place where I felt such warmth. And he used the word affection. People were like, he said it this way, people like were nice to me. Like somehow we wouldn't be. But he said, in my world, and this guy's a professional guy, he's very successful. He says, I don't have that kind of exposure. I don't have that kind of interaction. I don't have it with my family. And he shared a little bit about that. And I don't have it like at the workplace, really. He said, I came in here and he said, I felt like, and he used this word not knowing that we have used this word ourselves. He says, I just felt so refreshed. And that's exactly what we believe God is doing. He's redeeming, he's refreshing, he's restoring. And so when he said that, I thought, man, God, again, you're affirming where we're going, what we're doing. And to hear that from someone who is new, I hope that would compliment you and affirm you, but also remind us of how important these things are. Now, he says this, think about the things of heaven, the things of earth. And now we go to this first part, starting in verse 5. It says, so, having said this in the beginning, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. I love that, lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world, because of these sins, the anger of the Lord is coming. Now, that's a strong passage, wouldn't you agree? I mean, we read that and we go, wow, that's pretty strong stuff. I want you to begin to see that this is speaking to really a passage of sexuality. Every one of these things has to do with sexuality. It's talking about sexual immorality, impurity related to sex, lust, evil desires, and even greedy. Because it says, don't be greedy. Now, you're kind of thinking, because when you think greedy, what do you think? Money, of course, right? Because that's what I thought. I first read that, well, it's kind of talking about money. But you have to realize at the time this was written, what was happening in the centers of worship throughout the Roman Greek Empire was really idol worship and the integration of what they called temple prostitutes. So part of the worship that was going on at this time was having relationships with prostitutes in the temple. In that way, the idea was you would receive blessing. And so if you want a blessing for your crops, for your business, you know, those kinds of things, you would go into the temple and then you would bring an offering and then you would receive the opportunity to have relationships with the prostitute, if you will, you know, bring, the idea was your seed into the temple, and then you would receive a blessing. Does that sound crazy? My guess is some guy thought of that. I'm just kidding. Okay. Probably true, though. And they're saying here, so don't be greedy. In other words, don't be self-centered for only the things of yourself. Really, the concept here of being greedy was everything is about you, the focus for you, a self-centered, a selfish life. And the word is saying because it's tied into the sexuality, because they were worshiping in that way at that time. And it was, and the discussion actually was coming, maybe we ought to bring this into the church. And I got to tell you something, although this isn't happening in that way, this kind of unhealthy sexuality is in the church today. And this is why this is even more important for you and I to talk about how significant it is that we understand how it is that we can redeem our sexuality and how it is that we can be healthy. If you look here in the next slide, we can see that, you know, we're called to bring honor to Jesus, right? So how's that going to happen? How do we do that? Well, we need to know what his standards and values are, and this requires understanding and obedience. So how it is that you and I can please God, honor him, and value him is, first of all, to make sure we have an understanding of what it is that he values and what his standards. So what you have here in the beginning is really in these verses 5 and 6 is his standard, his value. He's saying these are the ways that you don't live, and then here's the ways that you do live, because I want you to understand what does it mean for us to have a relationship. I want you to understand what it means to have relationships with other human beings in a healthy way. Because the world we live in today is just getting backwards. So it's talking about sexual sin, which is in the Greek word porneia. We get the word pornography from that. And if you begin to study and understand that and recognize the connection, what I just talked about, what was happening in the temples, really what the Word of God is saying clearly is talking about abstinence. And it says the Bible is teaching abstinence from all sexual immorality. See, here's the thing that sometimes is confused. And even today it's being confused. I'm having these discussions with people. So what is sexual immorality? For most of us, we think of it as sexual intercourse. But the reality is this is talking about all sexual behaviors outside of the marriage relationship. And that when we engage in those kinds of activities, we are now into the realm of sexual immorality. This is far beyond just the concept of intercourse or oral sex or those kinds of things that can be engaged in. And the Bible says, it's kind of crazy because we talk about abstinence in terms of intercourse, but you know what? The Word of God says abstinence in all things that related to sexual immorality. So it's kind of crazy when we begin to realize this kind of begins to broaden out and help us understand a little bit more that, you know, you and I are to wait according to the Word of God for a marriage relationship and to not engage in sexual immorality. Matter of fact, the Scripture kind of nails it down and repeats itself a number of times. It says, never cheat a Christian brother in this matter by taking his wife. Now, I want you to understand, in this matter, it's referring back to immorality, not just sexual intercourse. This is not just affair. This is also engaging in other behaviors as well. By taking life, for the Lord avenges all such sins. If it was just one, it would have said such sin. But it says all such sins. As we have solemnly warned you before, God has called us to be what? Say it with me. God's called us to be what?
Holy.
And what does that mean? Holy means to be separate away from the world's lifestyle. In this concept, the idea of holy comes from our Old Testament concept of kadosh, which means we separate out ourselves so that we are not a part of the world, but we're now a part of God, of Jesus, of His standards and values. We become weird to the world. I mean, you think about it, as far as the world's concerned, I mean, they don't agree with us. Have you noticed that? And there's a lot of challenges right now coming to the church at large when it comes to this understanding of what this means. And so he says, look, I've solemnly warned you before, God has called us to be holy. And look, it says, not to live, what? Impure lives. Not to live that porneia, which has to do with what goes on in your head, has to do with your actions, has to do with your behaviors, impure lives. Anyone who refuses, now this is strong stuff, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human rules, but is what? Rejecting God. Now that's pretty powerful. See, a lot of times, and I've had this conversation with people where they will say, something, well, it's just sin. I mean, you know, what's the big deal? According to this, especially in this area, you are rejecting God. If you reject God, what happens?
You're in the darkness.
Exactly. You want to take over? That's good. You're exactly right. That was perfect. She's right with me. You are in serious trouble with your salvation. You think about this. You're not just having a little sin here, you're rejecting God. And so the word is very strong in this. It says anyone who refuses, anyone who makes a decision to live in opposition to what God has called us to, listen, it's not just a little thing any longer. This is a really big deal. And when you consider this, what Scripture is teaching us in the world we live today, this becomes really challenging in terms of how it is. I mean, why does this matter so much? Well, it tells us in Scripture, run away from sexual sin. No, I love that. Run away. Don't walk. Just don't turn around. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality, porneia, is a sin against your what? Own body. Wow. Now you begin to kind of connect with what this is saying. And this is telling us that there is a battle going on. That this is talking about a huge issue of the hearts and minds and souls of our children, our youth, and our adults. Right now in the world we live in today, there is a battle going on because what the Word of God is saying is that this sin affects you more deeply than most other sins. I got to tell you from my experience over all these years that when I've talked to people about a lot of sin. You know, when they have failed, they've done things wrong, they've made mistakes, and we've talked about committing crimes, we've talked about stealing, we've talked about assaults, we've talked about, lying, and on it goes. And it's interesting that when we come to that point of confession and then receiving forgiveness for yourself or giving forgiveness, when we're talking about those kinds of things, it seems to come a little bit easier. It's like, yeah, I can forgive myself. I stole some money. Or I can forgive that person for breaking into my home, things like that. But when we start talking about the sexual sin, that seems to be a whole other level. And I have watched people struggle with forgiving themselves over the things they've done and forgiving others for what has been done to them sexually, for the abuses, for the rapes, for the incense, for the kinds of things that become so. Because here is what's happening. God is reminding us He created us as sexual beings. He designed this sexuality so we can do something absolutely amazing. We can reproduce in the image of God. Is that exciting or what? I mean, we can do something that no other species can do. Nothing else on the planet can do what we can do. We can reproduce, and the human beings that come out are, in fact, created in the image of God. I got to tell you, as much as I love animals, animals are not created in the image of God. Animals are created to serve us. Can you say amen to that? See, a lot of us, again, the world's getting this backwards. We're not sure. We kind of almost have elevated the rights of animals to that equal to human rights. There are places right now where animals have been actually given equal rights like a human being. Is that backwards or what? So the whole idea is that when you recognize, so what is it that the enemy is going to attack? Well, why not attack the amazing gift that we've been given to have a sexual experience to reproduce an image of God? Why not destroy that wonderful gift, pervert it, distort it, so that somehow we no longer see what it was meant to be. You know, something that binds a husband and wife together, an amazing experience that we can enjoy together, and then reproduce and see this amazing gift come out where we can look at a little human being and realize, I have just created something in the very image of God. And that's why it says, run from this. Because this, it says, no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. It's true. It is really true. We're in a battle today. The messages we're receiving today is just crazy. I was thinking about, I mean, there's so many. I need about 3 hours with you to walk through all this, and we're not going to do that. But I want you to know, I was looking at some of the things that relate to this. Friends with benefits, that's right. That's kind of the new view of life, right? We can have friendships and basically casual sex. What's the big deal? I had someone say, hey, what's the big deal? We just had sex. Recreational. Doesn't mean anything. But you know, I've had people say that, and then I've talked to them later on, and they recanted that statement, and they said, I lied. I lied to myself. It really meant something. But the world is trying to convince us that it doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. The only way that won't matter is if your heart becomes hardened. If all of a sudden you stop feeling. And there are people who can shut down in such an extent that this might seem to be true, but when you get behind the scenes, what you're seeing is something really actually very unhealthy. The idea of the same is lame. I need variety. I need change. You know, our relationship is boring. You know, it's the same thing week after week. We got to do something different. And then you begin to see the expression coming out. Right now, one of the fastest growing new traditional relationships is polyamorous relationships. Because a marriage, you know, sexuality and marriage being monogamous is just, that's how boring is that? And so now we want to broaden out our horizons. And the world is pushing us in that direction right now. But once again, it's because we don't understand healthy sexuality. The fact is, it all happens in here. And when this isn't healthy up here, then the expression of our sexuality is not going to work out very well. See, the answer is in technique. The answer is in variety. The answer isn't, you know, all those kinds of things. The answer is often found deep within us. Adrenaline addiction, man, that's a big deal right now. We're seeing a lot of people doing things because they're addicted to adrenaline. Addiction is one of the key issues in the world we live in today. I am convinced that about 80% of Americans are addicted to something. I mean, not just sex, although it's sex. There is sexual abuse, there's sexual addiction, there's drug, there's alcohol, there's compulsive behaviors. I'm amazed at how addicted we become to so many different plants on our planet. I'm amazed at how we get addicted to so many different behaviors. And when I look around at the world we live in today, I am deeply concerned about the addictions that we are seeing. And this is an attack against the church today. And then personal expression without boundaries. Now somehow we can say whatever we want in all these new mediums so it doesn't matter because it's only Facebook. You know, somehow our texting doesn't matter. That somehow we have lost, if you will, healthy relational boundaries. And so we Facebook, we text, we email, we Instagram, we voicemail, we Twitter, we use our cell phones. Do you realize that they predicted, and it has happened, that 2 years ago, they predicted that the amount of data that would be processed would grow by 26 times. And it's exceeded that. Here's what that means. If you're wondering, well, what does that mean? That means that right now, it's equivalent to every human being on this planet, they say statistically, has 1.5 devices, and that this amounts to as much data that as if every one of us, every human being on the planet, was sending 1,000 text messages each second. Can you imagine the carpal tunnel syndrome? 1,000 texts per second? That's how much data is being communicated and thrown out there. We are becoming crazy in the process of what we're doing. I mean, they are suggesting that there are over 10 billion devices out there right now as we're talking today. That's according to Cisco and the big computer company software, and they talk about that. Our media is attacking us. Media entertainment's becoming one of those things that is just infiltrating our life. You think about media and how it's coming into our home in so many ways. It is influential. It is changing, literally, the terrain and the culture of America. And I can still remember, this will date me a little bit, but I remember watching TV shows like Leave It to Beaver, I Love Lucy. You remember Father's Knows Best? Remember Dick Van Dyke tripping over the couch every week? Right? Some of you remember that. I asked myself, why couldn't he learn to walk around the couch? You remember My Three Sons? Oh, man, I used to love that. And Andy Griffith, I mean, what could be better than going fishing with your dad? That was the show, you know? Opie walking down, going fishing with his dad. That was it. And now we moved into these crazy new shows where all of a sudden transitions started happening. All in the Family, the Brady Bunch. And then it emerged into these even more dysfunctional family systems with the Simpsons, Married with Children. And now the latest, most popular sitcom, The Modern Family, which is talking about a family that's today with divorce and, you know, all kinds of unhealthy sexual behavior. I mean, you begin to think of all the kinds of shows that are coming out today. We are under attack and being influenced. When you think about how much right now, our sexuality needs redeeming. The world we live in. Why? Because there is such a distortion and the created purpose has been lost. God gave us the ability to do this to honor Him and to glorify Him. I'm convinced that today's sexuality is dangerous to men and women and children and youth. Let me tell you something. Abuse is increasing. Incest is increasing. The kinds of things that are taking place, the violent assaults that are taking place, they're not getting better. Things are getting worse. Our contemporary sexuality is dangerous. It's taking marriage out of context. It's now destroying the concept of marriage with cohabitation, living with each other. And today's sexuality is hitting the culture of the church. God created this amazing thing that now the church is being challenged. What is right? How are we to live? How are we going to do this stuff? And more of the people in the church today are struggling with what we're going to do. All right, let me give you a couple suggestions. Number one, I think it's so important that we guard our hearts. Big picture, guard your heart. Look what Scripture says. It tells us, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Guard your heart. You know, you understand what we're saying? We're not talking about the cardiac muscle here. Although that's important, you guard that. That's a good, you know, important thing. You would be in trouble without this muscle. Can you say amen to that? But it's talking about what goes up here. This amazing gift called the brain that God created, and Scripture understands. He's saying, listen, guard your thoughts. Guard your feelings. Guard your decisions. Guard the things that you are processing up here. Because if you don't, you're going to go down a course that's going to be unbelievably unhealthy with consequences. And here the Word of God is saying, specifically in this area, you need to guard your heart in relationship to your sexuality. Because watching, participating, and being involved in porneia will injure the directions you're going to go. There's no question that this is a concern because you know why? I don't see us guarding our hearts. How do you guard your hearts? You get involved in small groups. You get involved with something like Pure Desire we have for both men and women. You get involved with Bible study. You get involved in talking and praying and sharing. You come to church. See, so many of us think the way we guard our heart is somehow we like the image of, you know, we got the Bible here by our heart and the bullet's going to come and it's going to stop right here. That just is the wrong image. Guarding your heart involves involvement in the Word and with Jesus and with one another. The fact is, what I see today is there's not enough usage of Pure Desire. I don't see the men coming out to get the help they need. I don't see the women coming out to get the help that they need. We're not guarding our hearts. You realize right now, I am seeing a significant increase of pornographic use of going on the internet, not just by men, but also by women. More and more women are being captured by the things on the media and that are taking place on the internet. We are seeing a huge increase because of the accessibility. You can go online and be anonymous. It's accessible. It doesn't cost you a dime. And you can see all kinds of really ugly things and find yourself being drawn into sexual morality. And it captures you. You know, the science behind it is crazy. You realize that that kind of interaction, when you involve yourself in things like that and don't guard your heart, you can become addicted to it. The chemical interaction, again, God created us. I'm not going to give you a lot of science here. But God created us with this amazing body that has these amazing chemicals that allow for healthy bonding in a marriage relationship. See, what happens is when you engage in sexual activity, whether you're imagining your brain, you have an orgasm, all of a sudden these amazing chemicals are kicked off in your system. And those chemicals bond you to what's going on. That's why when you have sex with somebody else, you start bonding to them, and then you want to repeat that. And here's the crazy part. There are human beings bonding to video clips. There are human beings bonding to pictures. And I've talked to people, hundreds of people, who have shared the testimony of how it is that, and they'll say, this is so hard to break away. Why is it so hard to break away? The very fact that they actually go through withdrawal symptoms when they stop doing it. I've heard men and women talk about the struggles they go through because of what's taking place. Listen, the scripture is warning you that these things are real. And a lot of us are struggling with it and doing nothing about it. We're ignoring it. We're burying it. And the Word of God is saying we need to come to an understanding of what it means to guard our hearts. Look what it says here. It says, our virtues train our attitudes. Our attitudes dictate our choices, and our choices decide our behavior, and our behavior determines our destiny. Think about this. This is a huge statement because our future, how is it that we have attitudes? It's by what we hold to be true. And those attitudes dictate choices that we make every day, decisions you make. If you don't have good virtues that lead to good attitudes, your choices are not going to be healthy. And the choices decide behavior. And you know what? Behavior decides your destiny. If you behave in a certain way and get involved with this stuff, then you're choosing an unhealthy destiny. Now, the good news is God can redeem it. I have an amazing, hopeful report to share with you that this can be redeemed. But we have to realize it doesn't take much to go down the wrong way. Scripture tells us, where do we compromise? Just a little leaven. Leaven's the whole loaf. Just a little bit will leaven pollute the whole lump. In other words, it doesn't take much to get you into this. It starts with curiosity. It starts with a little occasional usage. And before you know it, you're drawn into these kinds of behaviors, and it's very addictive. I had this conversation with someone the other day who was sharing, his journey, and he was saying, man, he said, it started so innocently. I just was curious when I was 14. He said, I just looked at it occasionally. And he says, here I am now, 38 years old, and every day of my life is spent looking at pornography. He finally came clean. He says, I've had 7 affairs. And he says, I can't stop. Help me. And I said, you know what? God can redeem this. It was an amazing miracle because his wife was sitting next to him. And she said, I want to see this redeemed. But she said, if you don't redeem this, we're done. Because I'm so hurt by this. And once again, there was the evidence of how sexual sin is so painful. I mean, she was willing and wanting to see healing and change take place. I see that more often. But it's such a scary process. But you can see the pain that they're going through. And it all started with just a little thing that, you know, God calls it to be persevering, to not give up. Good overcomes evil. Can you say amen to that? Amen. The scripture tells us the Lord always is more powerful than anything else. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Can you say amen to that, church? Amen. Our healthy sexuality maintains healthy trust within the whole body of Christ. Now, I'm going to say something very strong here. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You receive Jesus, and in you is the Holy Spirit. If you are in Christ, you do not have the right to violate trust with the body of Christ. Here's what Scripture is saying, is that what you do affects others around you. This concept of casual Christianity, that somehow this stuff isn't that big of a deal. The Word of God nowhere affirms that. This is a big deal and demands attention and insists on change and doing something to bring about this amazing redemptive work. Otherwise, if we don't, we are going down the path. We are already down there. Isn't it crazy that, like Scripture says, this is sin like any other sin, because when you sin and do what you do, and I've had people tell me, well, what's the big deal? This is just me. Well, if you're a believer, you're affecting the entire body. There's a domino effect that when you do what you do, you are injuring Christ and you're injuring the body of Christ. I just was talking to someone and sharing the story of a friend of ours, a pastor, who just recently was discovered having had an affair with someone in his church, a pastor. And I've known this guy for 20 years. The last guy I would have thought would have ever done that. And I got to tell you, I had sympathy, I had compassion, I'm hopeful. I said, we can help him, we're going to see him through this. But I also had hurt. I thought, I'm disappointed. Here we go again. What kind of a witness is that? And we can talk all day long about his struggles, the reasons why, but it still hurt. Do you realize that this is a sin that when, and again, I'm going to be strong here, but because Christ is in you, when you go and have sex with an escort, you take Christ with you. When you go into that massage parlor, I've heard lots of men talk about going to the erotic massages, and you're getting that massage, and you're a believer, you're taking Christ with you. When you engage and you look at pornography and it goes through your eyes into your brain, you are sharing it with the Spirit of God inside of you. You're taking Jesus with you. And it's like you're saying, let's go, Jesus. And everything you've done, to what, for what reason? And again, to be strong in this, it's like you're taking Jesus and slapping him in the face because what he did doesn't matter, because you're taking him with you. And then you're taking all of us with you because we all are affected by this. Don't think for a second that what you do doesn't matter. I'm here to tell you it does matter. By my testimony, by others, it affects. Now, it doesn't mean that we're turning our back on you. No. Man, there's going to be grace, there's going to be love, but you know what? You need to step up and start doing something. But to think that it doesn't matter, that is a casual Christian. That is not taking who you are seriously in Jesus. You know, Scripture tells us that healthy sexuality releases the Spirit of God in us. Sex sin assaults the lordship of Christ in us. I just said that. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Didn't I just say that? Yes. Certainly not. God wants you to be holy, so you should keep clear of all sexual sin. Keep clear. Walk the long way around. Are you with me? Then each of you will control your body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion as pagans do in their ignorance of God and his ways. Don't play with this stuff. Don't think that you're immune to it. Don't think it doesn't matter. It does. Man, it's time to step up. Get involved in the group. Come to CR. You know, join Pure Desire. Get involved with Betrayal and Beyond. Start doing Bible study. Get into the place where you can start being healthy again and quit trying to think you can white knuckle it and you don't need anything. I had someone say to me the other day, I was one of those. I said, how many times have you gone through the program? That's why I use that term. He says, oh, about 5 or 6 times. In other words, you've tried to break through this 5 or 6 times. He says, yes. Has it worked? No. What have you done? Well, I just, Jesus and me. See, that doesn't sound like it makes sense, does it? You would think Jesus and me would be just absolutely powerful. And he is. But Jesus gave us this amazing mechanism to overcome, and we're not using it. Man, this is why I'm here, is to help give you the opportunity to get healthy and better and to live life as God intended. This conversation happened a little while ago, but a female who I've known for probably 26 years, it's kind of like a daughter, if you will. I mean, not really, but just someone very close to me. She came to me and she said, we need to talk. And I said, yeah. And she started sharing her story. And the short of it was she had gotten involved in sin, sexual sin. I said, wow, really sorry to hear that. You know, I felt, she knew it. I felt disappointed. I mean, I really care about her and she's a neat person. But, you know, things kind of went that direction. I get it. I said, well, let's see what we can do. And she said, no, you understand. I need to know something. She looked at me and tears started coming. I said, what? I know you're not going to understand this because I know this isn't you, but it's more important that I know you forgive me than Jesus forgives me. I said, really? I said, I get it, but man, Jesus is much more important than me. And she says, no. She says, you're right, but you're important. I didn't know that we're okay. Don't tell me that this doesn't affect the body of Christ. When you have relationships with people and you care about them, when you are involved with human beings, it is powerful when we do things. That's why God said, confess to what? One another. If he didn't want us to do this stuff, he would have said, listen, when you really blow it, go off into the corner someplace and hide and get through it. Go shut your door. Go in your home and stay there for 2 weeks until you're on the other side of this and come on out and, you know, just like Lazarus and be risen. All right. Keep clear. God has given us the possibility and the capability that you and I can overcome. It says we need to recognize that there is power from on high that gives us strength and perseverance to see us through the battle. Our power source is the resurrected Lord. The indwelling Spirit of God has endowed us with power from on high that will cleanse our heart. Look what it says. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You can do this. I have no doubt. But you need to follow the path that God has laid out and quit playing the game. I believe God wants to redeem our sexuality. I believe that some of us here today need to take that step that says, God, help me. Forgive me. And take a stand in the name of Jesus. And take the first step. The first step of redeeming. And then let's let God do this. We're here to help. I don't want to be a church that's a collection of individuals that shows up on Sunday and then we go our separate ways. That is not what we're doing here. We are here to come together and do what's necessary to overcome together. Because I believe I've seen it over. There are some of you in here that I know you are a different person because of the redemptive work of Jesus in your life. And the only reason that you're still different is because the ongoing redemptive work of Christ. And you haven't stopped. Can you say amen to that?